You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, time for a free-for-all Friday edition of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tim Leonard and Tyler Rocky, we're here with you guys every single weekday throughout the summer, getting you ready for Syracuse football. Boeheim's Army just had a good chat with Kevin Belby the last couple days. So now, if you missed that chat, go back and check it out. Really enjoyed having him on to break down the roster. But now, over the past 2 days we were dropping that, there was some news that came out. So we've got, I think, 6 or 7 stories here, Ty, that came out, maybe some little, some a little bit more big, but some interesting games that are on the schedule now, some recruiting news, a lot to get to on the show today. First off, follow the show on Twitter, if you haven't already, @LO_Syracuse. Keep up with us there and subscribe to the show. But let's kick it off by jumping into our first free-for-all Friday topic here, which is what came out late Thursday night. The fact that Syracuse, a couple of recruiting things. One, I guess Peter Carey has been offered by Syracuse, a center that we have talked about recently on this podcast, kind of a recent guy that they've added to the 2022 mix here. He officially got his offer from Syracuse, but also late last night we see a future cast come in from Jamie Shaw predicting that Kadir Copeland is going to Syracuse. So that was exciting news, and I think we've long thought that Copeland is the most likely next commit in this class, but good to see that come in.
Right, and we've been on that, like you said, for a while. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm kind of interested of what the timeline is going to be like, because Syracuse, let's say he commits in the next week or so, that's a pretty early haul. Like, that's 3 guys that you already have strapped down for your class of 2022 pretty quickly. And sometimes we see Syracuse go as late as April or May to go out and get some of their guys. But we know this is going to be a bigger class. Obviously, Kadir Copeland is a guy who you and I have thought that will be a part of this class, but you've already got some impressive lands right now. Copeland's a guy who knows, maybe he'll see his rating go up over these next couple of weeks and with the EYBL circuit, but this is a big moving time for the rankings and the ratings of all these players and teams. So I'm interested to see how it all kind of shakes out these next couple of days, weeks, and about month or so.
For sure. I think it's been interesting. The EYBL stuff, I've been following it a little bit this week because they're really into the full swing of things there. It seems like Kamari Lands is playing very well, scoring a lot of points. Justin Taylor seems to be struggling with his 3-point shot a little bit for Team Takeover, but he's playing pretty well. And Copeland's done pretty well as well. Guys like Kyle Flip, all the Syracuse targets are playing. So it's been interesting to keep up with that. But Peter Carey, in the case of him, we talked about it a little bit, but he does feel like a guy that is being vastly underrated just because of the scenario that he was put in. The fact that he isn't on an EYBL team, the fact that he didn't really have a season last year. And at this point, I really feel like Syracuse might be on him earlier than most, and that could be a good thing in the long run. It seems like he has a lot of interest in Syracuse as well. Reading through the quotes, he seems over the moon about the offer, is planning on visiting in August, according to his high school coach, I think told Mike McAllister. So this is all good stuff, and I don't necessarily know if he's going to be an impact player right away. I think it's still just too early to tell, but I like that the coaching staff was on him early and appears to have maybe spotted another like diamond in the rough here at the center position.
You know what I would think for Peter Carey's timeline? If I were him, and I'm not saying this is what he's going to do, but if I were him, I would wait a little bit until into my high school season to make a decision, because you haven't had a lot of exposure. So let's say you are much better than what 24/7 has you, what Rivals has you at. I would let that kind of filter itself out, really reset yourself and where you're going to be in the rankings after this EYBL season, where he's probably not going to get as much exposure as some of these other big guys like Kyle Flip, like Donovan Klingon. But let everything sort of sort itself out for a little bit. Let yourself settle in some of these rankings. And then once you get a grasp of who you are in the high school season, that's when I think he should make a decision. Now, I'm not here to play advisor for him, but right, if I was in his shoes, I would let as many eyeballs get on me, because like you said, he hasn't had a ton of exposure in the past year. So I think the more and more people that watch him play, that's going to ultimately help out wherever he ends up. And it really will help coaches, too, get a good grasp of who he is as a player.
So his high school coach, he had an interesting quote to Mike McAllister in that article I referenced. He said, just to be totally upfront and honest, we've got to see if he can play at this level more. Syracuse is Syracuse. You've got to make sure that you are able to perform at that level on a regular basis. He would love to come there. And Coach Boeheim said it best, you need to come see the place first and see what he thinks of it, and then I'll make his decision. So I think that goes to your point. I don't think we're going to hear anything very soon on Peter Carey. Copeland, maybe, and that'd be great to get him, but it seems like Carey still has to figure out his game because he is such a raw guy. But I was happy to see that his high school coach basically said he's actually more like 7 feet 210 right now, and he looks young, and he's probably got to, I mean, he's definitely got to fill out his body some more, but all the stuff about him just seems like his defense is tremendous. His offense just lags behind, which maybe that's
been the case. But he's got a skill set to him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like we talked about it. The ball handling's there. The passing, it seems pretty nice. But you wonder what the shot and the scoring is like.
Exactly. So anyway, I'm excited to see that they're after him early. And I do think he's going to be a kid that eventually will be ranked, eventually be thought of as more of a highly ranked prospect. And he's just had a tough draw with losing his season and stuff. And obviously, exciting news about Copeland. I really feel like they have a very good shot at getting him. That doesn't guarantee it, but Jamie Shaw predicted Justin Taylor right. He predicts Copeland to Syracuse here, so hopefully we see more and more future cast crystal balls continue to come in, and we get some good news on Copeland in the coming weeks or months or whatever the timetable is.
Hey, the NBA Finals, they're in full swing right now, and there's only one place to bet on all your sports action. It is betonline.ag. Along with the basketball, you've also got some baseball going on right now as well. After the All-Star break, you can get in some divisional bets, all that good stuff. And you got to do it on betonline.ag. Head on over to your laptop or your phone and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information, including ours, because we've got a promo code for you. Use the code LOCKEDON. That's all one word, locked on, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the action. Head on over to the website and use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts.
Another basketball note from the time that we were not doing the podcast over the week. I think this came out on Wednesday, I believe, but Colgate has been added to the schedule November 20th. Makes sense that they are playing Colgate. I think it's kind of interesting the timetable of it a little bit because it's right before Battle for Atlantis. I don't think they should have any problem taking care of Colgate, although they have been a little bit better recently. They made the tournament last year and they gave Arkansas a little bit of a run for their money. I mean, they were up big in the first half, up by 14 points. Then Arkansas kind of really came back and ran away from them, but that's a very good Arkansas team. They were the 3 seed, Colgate the 14. So Colgate's a little bit better than they have been in the past, but Syracuse should take care of them. But now you got a lot of games in that window of Battle for Atlantis, Colgate on November 20th, and then after Battle for Atlantis, which I think ends on the 26th, which is that Thanksgiving week, then on the Tuesday after your Friday last game there, so November 30th, that Tuesday, you are playing in the ACC Big Ten Challenge against Indiana. So that's a lot of games in 10 days there.
That's a lot of quality opponents too. I mean, I'm kind of like you. I don't think Colgate's that great. If I were to go full Mark Titus and unleash some fraud power rankings from last season, I would go everyone in the Big Ten and then Colgate probably because they played 3 teams last year. But sometimes it's tough when you have that many games and you don't want it to become a look-ahead game either when you're going to the Battle for Atlantis and you're going to see some really good teams there. And then Indiana's going to be a strong team, I think, this season as well. The bulk of the games, and you and I were kind of talking about this via text, but with that many games, it makes that Indiana game super tough. Even though it's at home, you're going to be coming off a bunch of games in a row. Indiana's not playing in any sort of Thanksgiving type of tournament. They've got a couple games sprinkled around the date, but it's not nearly the bulk that Syracuse is going to have. And so you're wondering, okay, heavy legs, you're going to be getting back from paradise.
Yeah, it's
where
the travel
are you going
time
to be?
That's tough. Yeah.
Right. It's a really tough schedule and it's tough on the body. And I'm wondering how Syracuse is going to respond to that challenge. You might need to see some of that depth play a role. And hopefully, maybe you can blow out a team or two in Battle for Atlantis so you can dig a little deeper into that bench, and maybe you blow out Colgate too, and you can dig deep into that bench so all these guys aren't logging 35, 38 minutes a night early on in the season.
Yeah, the schedule kind of worked out this way in 2016 when they went to the Bahamas and they won it, and then they followed that up by playing Wisconsin and losing, and I think they lost to Georgetown shortly after that, so there was kind of like some letdown games, which 2016, there was a lot of stuff going on between Boeheim not coaching and Hopkins is coming in to coach some games. Like, it was a weird regular season. I acknowledge all of that, but I do think there's some potential for that game to be a little bit tougher than it might be if you weren't coming back from a long travel trip and a lot of games in a short amount of span right before it. They still should be able to beat Indiana if they play well. And like you said, maybe just use a little bit more depth when you're over there. But it's exciting because that's going to be the stretch where we really find out about this team. And then after that, I would imagine Villanova is probably early December, Georgetown sometime in December. They might have an early ACC game in that stretch early December. So there's going to be a lot of tough opponents in that stretch, and we're really going to figure out whether this team is legit or not.
I'm kind of hoping that Georgetown game is one of those little sprinkle February on a Saturdays or January on a Saturday, because that just feels like Syracuse Georgetown. And I think the fans appreciate that. I know it's tough to find that open weekend in conference play, but if they can make it work, I would love to see that on a weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Another basketball note from over the week. This is kind of interesting. Jimmy and Buddy Boeheim are going to play for Team USA East Coast, I believe is the name. So there's three teams. They go over to Spain this year. I think they go overseas each year. And for whatever reason, this year there is a red, white, and blue team. Jimmy and Buddy are on the red team, which is being coached by Larry Brown. And Jim, the dad, is going to be over there coaching the white team along with Red Autry. He will be the assistant coach. So a lot of Syracuse contingency going over there. And it's going to be kind of cool because Jimmy and Buddy, A, they're going to get to play some more games against high-level competition in Spain, which is pretty cool. But also, they're going to be playing for Larry Brown, who is the new Memphis assistant coach, which is kind of crazy, but one of the best basketball minds ever. So that's kind of cool that they got paired up that way with Larry Brown.
And Jim Boeheim sort of gave his blessing for this to happen, too. And I mean, Larry Brown's a legend. The only guy in history to win both a national championship at the college level and at NBA Finals. However, I do have one slight concern here, Tim, all right? He was the head coach of that 2004 Olympic team that came home with bronze.
Ooh.
Boeheim, he only knows golds. And yep. And now we're seeing the Olympic team struggle a little bit with Nigeria and Australia. And I mean, the players keep dropping like flies. I saw Jeremy Grant's in the health and safety protocol right now, so I don't know what his future is going to be like with Team USA. You're seeing Kevin Love drop out, Bradley Beal drop out. So I'm just looking at it all. And
Kevin Love, like, not a big loss. But
not a big loss. But
yeah, Brad Beal, yeah, that's a tough one.
Boeheim knows golds. Jim Boeheim knows golds. I want to see Jimmy and Buddy play for the guy who knows gold, who knows winning in these international play. But I mean, Larry Brown's a nice little consolation prize. Just don't bring home a bronze.
Yeah, I wonder if we can watch these games. I haven't done the research on it. I think there's three games in August is what we know right now. And I'm also curious who else is on the roster, but I don't think those have been fully announced yet. I've never really even noticed these games before. Have you ever, like, remembered watching them or anything?
Yeah, I believe, so Red Autry has coached in them before. I know that. And I believe he's brought over guys like Jalen Carey and Matthew Moyer. It's always kind of strange players. It's not the best Syracuse talent that he brings over. And I wouldn't classify Jimmy Boeheim as the best Syracuse talent. Buddy, I'm a little surprised is playing on this because it feels like he might be one of the better players that plays in this. Now, a lot of these guys will, the best of the best play for the U19, like you see Chet Holmgren going out and playing in, or stuff like that. But I'd imagine these are televised in some capacity. This feels like a flow sports
stream
operation. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll keep you guys updated on that.
Flow Sports is pretty good, actually. They do some college basketball games. They do a lot of the Peach Jam, I think, too. So Flow Sports isn't a janky operation, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was a janky operation that was putting this on either.
Right. Yeah, it was like, I forget, was it Flow Sports when they went over to Italy and they had some games? There was some decent streams for those games that I remember.
No, they took the security camera in the upper left-hand corner of the gym, and then they just patched it through. I think that's what right. they did out there.
Yeah, decent is probably relative, but you were able to at least see the players and identify them a little bit. Hopefully we get some visual, or I'm sure we'll be able to keep up with the stats and stuff, and that'll be interesting to track. Last basketball note before we switch to some football stuff. Joe Lunardi, he's at it again. He's got his early bracketology out, and he's got Syracuse as a bubble team. One of the last four byes, he's projecting them as an 11 seed against UConn, a 6 seed right now. I think we are starting to get a little bit of a better sense of where Syracuse stands in the ACC because of some guys that are figuring out their draft decisions. Like, we know the draft decisions by now. Seems like most of the transfer portal has sorted itself out. I'm not very bullish on Syracuse. I think actually I'm more like on the negative side, maybe. I don't hesitate to use that word, but I'm not very optimistic in them as a regular season team just because of what they've done recently, and I've gotten my hopes up recently, and then they've fallen back onto the bubble. But I was a little surprised to see 11 seed from Joe Lunardi, because on paper, they should be a lot better than 11 seed.
I love that he's riling up the natives in mid-July. I mean, everything is in play here. The quasi-bubble situation as an 11 seed, and then you've got him facing UConn, an old-time rival and all that.
He always does that. It's never like Syracuse versus San Diego State. It's right. It was always Washington for a while, because then you could get, oh, what if this happened between Coach Hop and Behan? Like, he always picks the strategic opponent to get right. his article out there more.
You know, I can't wait for the day when you've got Goodman, Rothstein, maybe Jay Billis. They all have Cuse as like a top 10 preseason team. And then Lunardi will come out a week later with his way too early bracketology bubble. Bubble for Syracuse. I can't wait for that day to happen.
Yeah. It is funny because Andy Katz had them preseason 21 last week, and that's been out there. I think
that's most, a 5 seed, 6 seed right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. And there's probably a lot of other teams that you could find a big disparity in what their ranking is. But for Syracuse, it's just a lot of people are looking at them and going, nah, forever, they're a bubble team. I'm never predicting them to not be on the bubble. I'm not being proven wrong again. And I'm honestly kind of one of those people. I want to see them do it. And the tough non-conference schedule does kind of scare me.
Right. You'll have a lot of resume building opportunities. Now, how much weight is it going to have if these games are being played in November and early December? Again, those don't mean nearly as much as the ACC competition, but let's say Villanova ends up being a good team. Let's say Indiana ends up being a good team. You've got a chance to pick up two marquee wins. I mean, both of those teams could be top 15 sort of teams this year, maybe even top 10. And if you can get those wins early in the season, okay, it's not going to be the end of the world if you drop a game to Pitt or if you drop a game to Wake Forest at some point in the regular season, because I feel like that builds up enough cachet to make up for some of the losses that you might have during the ACC regular season.
All right, guys, are you looking for a new car part or a way to repair your car right now? Well, I've got the perfect solution for you. It is rockauto.com. Different from the chain store fronts that are often kind of tireless and meaningless exercises, going to those chain store fronts and then getting turned away at the door because they don't have the specific part you're looking for. Instead, skip that step. Go to rockauto.com today. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online now for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com today, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They always offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. I personally have used rockauto.com several times now. I can speak from experience, been happy each and every time. And when you go to rockauto.com today, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Quick break to tell you about the best protein bar on the market. You know it. It is Built Bar. And guess what? Right now, they've got a limited time flavor. That's right. You got to get in on it this week only. It is the Built Grasshopper Cookie flavor. And this one is just like your classic thin mint cookie, but packed into a Built Bar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. There are so many great flavors of Built Bar out there, but this one in particular, you got to get it on now. So get in, Maybe pack it into a mix box as well. There are a number of fantastic Built Bar flavors. My favorite, of course, is the peanut butter brownie. You've heard me talk about that Built Bar on the show all the time. Use Built Bar to train like the pros because Built Bar is now the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
All right, so transitioning now to two football storylines slash notes from the week. We'll start out with a big one, in my opinion. Tennessee and Syracuse are scheduled to play a game on Labor Day weekend.
How about that? 2025. We want the SEC.
In Atlanta is where the game is. So it's the Chick-fil-A kickoff. I'm sure a lot of people have seen this, but for anyone who hasn't, this is the 2025 opener, which immediately begs the question. I saw Brent Axe tweeted out, and it's basically, what is the percentage chance that Dino Babers is actually roaming those sidelines for Syracuse in 2025? I'm on the probably very low end of that scale because it is so far off. I mean, we probably don't even know who the quarterback is for Syracuse in 2025.
Okay. I've laid out three questions here.
Okay.
Will Dino be the coach? I think is a popular one. Will Lampson be the quarterback? Justin Lampson.
Yep.
And will Tennessee be any good? Because we've seen Tennessee sort of take a nosedive as a program. But
right.
I guess we can go one by one here. Just gut reaction. Will Dino Babers be the head coach?
I would say no. If I had to pick,
I would agree
no.
with you. No.
And I hope he is, because that means he's turned the ship around. And I think it's possible he does it. And I know a lot of our listeners would argue that there is a decent chance he will turn it around. I'm not totally ruling it out. It's just if you have to pick, 2025 is pretty far off. Like, he could turn it around and take another job by 2025. It's just hard to see him still at Syracuse.
All right, will Justin Lampson be the quarterback?
So what, Lampson, we're entering his redshirt year, probably.
Redshirt junior season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assumption because I'm very high on him. I think he is, I mean, I guess once Garrett Schrader's gone, to me, is when Justin Lampson takes over. Now, you could argue Jacobian Morgan, Dylan Markowitz. There will be a competition there. There might be one or two guys that transfer in, transfer out over the course. There's going to be another recruit this cycle. Who knows? Hopefully they get one at least. But right now, I would guess Justin Lampson is a starting quarterback for Syracuse as an upperclassman. And operating under the assumption that he's a redshirt junior then, I would assume he is a starter by that point.
I agree. And the last one, will Tennessee be any good?
So who's their new coach? Remind me. Isn't he?
I don't even remember.
The UCF guy? I can't remember. But I don't know. I don't follow Tennessee enough, but they definitely aren't trending great right now. It's on paper right now, it seems like Tennessee is definitely going to be favored in that game. I think it's a cool game that they put on the schedule, though. It's going to get some national attention. We'll see where the two programs stack up in terms of how good one another is going into that year. It's impossible to predict right now, but it's in Atlanta. That's a different spot. It's first game of the year, big non-conference moment. I'm all for scheduling them. I think it's a cool idea by John Wildhack and whoever else was influenced in or contributed to this decision to schedule the game. It is incredibly far off, though. Like 2025, it's kind of crazy how early you have to schedule these games.
So you were correct. It is Josh Heupel, who is the coach at Tennessee. Yeah, you see games now that are scheduled for 2032 and stuff like that. It's so far down the road. I've got a couple other questions for you concerning this game.
Yeah, this
so I
is
texted
fun.
A friend about this, who big college football guy, he's a Georgia fan, all that, big SEC guy. Texted it and said, because he loves watching the Tennessee postgame shows. I mean, I don't know if you know about these things, but Tennessee has this guy, Tony Basilio. He works for some radio station, but he does these live Periscope call-in shows after the game.
Okay.
They're like 8 hours long. Eight hours long of just angry Rocky Top callers for 8 hours. So I asked
even
them,
if it's a night game. They just
even
keep
if it's
going.
A night game, they wow. keep cranking it out till like 4 a.m. Anyway, those fans are insane. By the way, if Cuse wins, we are listening to all
oh,
of that.
Absolutely.
We might even just roll on it and just play it the next day. The fans might get an 8-hour podcast the next day. Anyway, so I texted it to a friend and he said, wow, Syracuse kind of got hosed here. They should have met him halfway in Philly or something. To which I said, you could put this game in Philly. You could put this game in Charlotte. You could put it at MetLife Stadium. You could put it at Yankee Stadium. You could put it in Buffalo. Tennessee is still going to out-attend Syracuse. So I don't mind that it's in Georgia. In the
Mercedes-Benz
Superdome.
MetLife, I think Syracuse is at least 50-50. Come on. Like,
you really
Syracuse
think
travels
so?
Decently well. I think there will be a good amount of fans there in Atlanta. Because a lot of those people that transport
I know there's
down,
transplants, but you got to remember how close Tennessee is to Atlanta and how Tennessee travels. SEC, I think
right.
Syracuse fans are kind of in for a bit of an awakening. You saw how many LSU fans were at the Dome for that game. What was that, 2015? It was kind of embarrassing from a Syracuse fan perspective.
Yeah, you're right.
How much the Tigers filled it up.
That is fair. The one thing that I think Syracuse has going for them is this just doesn't happen often. Like, the opportunity to go to Atlanta, if you are someone who now lives down in the
Final
South
Four
like
vibes.
Me, and you went to Syracuse, you just don't get to see them. I guess you do when they play the ACC teams, but for a week one neutral site opener at a destination like that, where it's just a cool city to go to, it's a cool arena or stadium to be in.
Chick-fil-A like, will be open too.
They have
the Chick-fil-A inside the stadium. It will be open.
Tennessee,
unlike during the Falcon games.
They probably get some form of this game every year, and there's a reason, because they pack the house. I'm sure there will be more Tennessee fans in Atlanta, for sure. I do think Syracuse will turn out. I think there will be
you
a good
really
amount
do.
Of Syracuse fans.
Okay, so I pulled this, all right? Would you travel to Atlanta to see Syracuse take on Tennessee? Yes, no matter what. Only if they're good. No, too far away. Not a chance in hell. And yes, no matter what, won at about 40%, only if they're good at 33%, not a chance in hell at 17%, and no, too far away at 11%. So I guess, based on our unscientific findings there,
right,
you are correct. But so let's say, okay, we have a friend, Jonathan Hoppe, our friend who lives in the state of Georgia, has tickets. He says, hey, I got two tickets. I got no one to go with. If you can fly or drive
there.
Your way down, you're going. You're going to go.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, is he buying the tickets or am I having
he
pay
has
for
them?
He
found two on the street. You're going.
Yeah.
You can get into the stadium. You're going.
If I could make that happen, I think that'd be really fun. I went to the game at MetLife when they played Notre Dame. Not like the only time they did something like that, but they got crushed. The first play of the game, Notre Dame scored a touchdown. And that
right.
was the year where every first play, it seemed like it happened against Louisville as well. But anyway, I still enjoyed it because it's just a different venue. And also, I kind of get tired. I like seeing Syracuse play outdoors. Maybe it's just grass
this is
greener
indoors,
on the
though.
Other side.
Like, this is a dome, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm thinking about like my experience at MetLife and how it's just kind of cool to see them in a different atmosphere. But I think that still holds. It's a different atmosphere. It's unique that Syracuse is playing in a game like this. Now, if they're like 28-point underdogs, I might not risk everything
say,
to go. But
3-9, let's say they're 3-9 the season before and they're bringing back whatever head coach they had.
I mean, there's a lot of hypotheticals. Right now, my opinion is I would try to make it to that game if I could. It's a rare opportunity. I'm closer than I am when Syracuse plays at home. So if like a friend came to me and said, hey, here's some pretty decent seats for free. I mean, for most sporting events, I'm saying yes to that, but especially if it includes Syracuse.
Yeah, I'm only going if they're good. If
but
they
you have
are
a longer
off,
travel time there, too.
It's an easier flight for me to get from Chicago to Atlanta than Chicago to Syracuse. It's a cheaper flight, too, to go to Atlanta.
Well, I'm saying, like, then I'm North Carolina right now, so
right,
to get to Atlanta feels pretty easy. Maybe I'm
right.
off there, but...
Actually, the drive to Atlanta is the same as it is to Syracuse, believe it or not. Not that I would drive, but
really.
That would probably mean the flight is about the same in terms of distance and travel time as well. So I'm still only if they are good, would I go.
Yeah.
I don't need to go see Syracuse lose by 38 points.
Right.
I have a friend who went to the Maryland game. Our friend Manny Martinez went to the Maryland game. When they got their doors blown off, he said it is one of the five worst experiences he's had as a sports fan.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one, too, because they were supposed to win that game. Maybe not. I mean, it was pretty much an even spread, but they were ranked. Maryland wasn't. a lot of people had such high hopes for that team, and we hadn't figured out they were bad yet, because it was right off of Liberty when they shut them out. It wasn't great, but they still won 24-0. So yeah, that it would depend on how good they are, but I'm excited that they scheduled the game, and I think a lot of Syracuse fans will be there. One other football note before we get out of here. First off, the line has come out from betonline.ag, or friends over there, for the first game of the year against Ohio. And Syracuse is only a 1-point favorite, which I was kind of surprised by initially, but I did some research on Ohio. They're decent, I guess, and
they played 3 games last year. I think it's tough to get a gauge on what they really are. Right. And 2 of them were against Akron, who sucks.
Yeah, it is tough, but it's odd. ESPN does, I forget what it's called. I think it's called like BPI in basketball, where they calculate your percentage of chance of winning the game.
FPI, is it FPI, Football Power Index?
Yeah, it's probably FPI. Yeah. That would make logical sense. I just couldn't remember. But FPI.
They do S&P too, S&P ratings.
Yeah, there's all these. I mean, there's too many analytical stuff out there now. I'm all for it, but there's so many different names and it's hard to keep up with it all. But anyway, ESPN has a percentage chance that Syracuse wins this game, and they're giving Cuse a 40% chance to beat Ohio. I kind of always viewed this as, all right, we win that one, hopefully, then Rutgers is a toss-up later on, and Liberty maybe have a chance. Like, looking at this ESPN percentage, Liberty's 23%, Rutgers is more of a toss-up, but Ohio at 40% for Syracuse surprised me. And this line did surprise me a little bit, too. The good news is, Ohio's got some things to figure out with their coach now, because unfortunately Frank Zolich, who's been there for a while and was a longtime Nebraska coach, he has some health problems and retired this past week, which I know they're immediately hiring the guy that's already internal there, the offensive coordinator. I believe his name's Tim Albin, is now their new head coach, and he was the associate head coach before. So it's not a huge shift, but I don't know. It's pretty late in the game to be implementing a new head coach when the game is really coming up pretty quick here.
No, I totally agree. I look at this as, why the hell would you put a line out? You got one team who's experiencing a head coaching change midway through July and another team who doesn't know who its quarterback is yet. This is an off the board game for me. I don't know how there's a line. I don't know what the angle exactly is to take, which supersedes the other. I would probably say, I think you could be getting a pretty good price here on Syracuse, because
I'd hope, right? I mean, they should win this game.
The quarterback situation should be improved, right? And one of the things about Ohio, listen, they don't have a spectacular defense by any stretch, but they do have a really good run game that's returning from a season ago. And running the football gashed Syracuse last year. You think of the Liberty game, you think of the Duke game, but there's a stretch for the Syracuse defense from week 6 through 10 where they allowed 151 rush yards per game. And that right there is top 50 rush defense level good. If they can bring a top 50 rush defense against Ohio, you're probably feeling pretty good about yourself. Now, you wonder about a team like Ohio. Are they going to be really nippy out of the gate because they only played 3 games last year, and they're going to be really, really twitchy to start and just ready to pounce on any little thing? Or are they going to just get freight trained because they haven't really seen anyone in the last 2 years?
There is a lot of pressure on Syracuse in that game. And if Tommy DeVito's the starter, there's a lot of pressure on him, because the way camp goes, you got to think there will be a competition. And at the very least, he now goes into this season knowing that he has a chance of being replaced, and it's not injury-based. And I think there's a chance that DeVito starts the game because Babers goes with the incumbent for week 1, and the offensive line's still bad, and DeVito's still bad, and they really struggle. And then from that point on, it's Garrett Schrader. And we look back at that game and think, man, what if Schrader had started that? Like, there's a scenario that Syracuse loses this game because they start the wrong quarterback, maybe. And it's just hard for Dino maybe to pick the right quarterback for week 1, especially if he goes with Garrett. It's hard to pull the trigger on Garrett Schrader, probably in his mind, which I know a lot of fans would argue, well, we've seen now almost 4 years of DeVito and he's hasn't proven us anything, really. But it is tough to throw Garrett Schrader out there for week 1, I think. And I think they will go DeVito, and there's a chance that DeVito just really stinks again.
I think whatever the quarterback pick that is made, it'll be one that is made with conviction. It'll be one where Dino's going to know right away. It's not going to be, wow, this is so close. I need to. I think he's going to know in his mind one of two things.
And that'd be a good
things.
Sign. Yeah.
Yes. Either A, one guy is way better than the other, or B, I know I need to go with Garrett Schrader. My gut tells me I need to go with Garrett Schrader. I need a dual threat guy. I think this pick is going to be one that's made with conviction.
Anyway, you can go and bet on that game now. And I would assume, if anything, the line's going to go in Syracuse's direction with the head coaching news. So maybe jump on it now. It's -1 over at betonline.ag. You can use our promo code LOCKEDON, which is all one word, for that as well. But that's going to do it for our Friday episode of the podcast and for this week. We'll be back next week, keeping you guys updated with all sorts of Syracuse news, anything that comes out over the weekend. We are back Monday through Friday, so subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next week.